Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just showed me the mock draft.
30-13.
Matt, wait.
2025 NFL mock draft.
What's wild about it is do they have the Browns having the third pick?
Second pick.
Okay, so they've changed this because last
week. Patriots have the first pick, and I'll give this one away. They take James Pierce Jr., the edge rusher from Tennessee.
So
they already have a quarterback.
Now you're talking about the Patriots, but
yes,
not the Browns.
Yes, that's the Patriots.
And they have the Browns taking Shedeur Sanders. And what's funny about that is.
And then Cam Ward goes third to Carolina.
What's funny is last week they had the Browns third. Also taking Shedeur Sanders. They
so
are
no matter what, no matter what, the Browns are taking Shedeur Sanders. They could be second, they could be third.
The amount of college football I'm watching tonight, watching this weekend, because I got to start scouting quarterbacks because I am living in every one of my fear is pretty outrageous.
So I don't know if I've talked to you about this. I texted Ken about it, I know, the other day.
Different large person.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just meant like I was adding that in, but I wasn't sure if we had talked about it at some point, too.
Yeah, you were checking in with your obese crowd. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And by the way, thank you for going to Ken first. My ego needed that.
I think what I've seen from Shedeur this year tells me like he's taken some steps from last year. I think he's playing better. I do have high hopes for him in the NFL. But my biggest fear with drafting Shedeur Sanders is just – what you draft in terms of his dad. I mean, his dad is already out here talking about how I'm steering my kids to certain teams. You think he's steering his kid to Cleveland? And if Cleveland does take him, you think like the second you know what doesn't hit the fan, he's going to be out there like, yeah, my son, we got to get my son out of Cleveland. Like, he's going to be openly politic. It's going to be like OBJ on steroids.
The problem is it's not just his dad. His kid is a bit of an ass clown, like, yeah. His kid, like, I'm sorry to be that person and speak that truth, but like everyone's like, oh, Dion,
that's
oh,
what
Dion.
I mean.
I'm like, no, Shedeur, like, is a bit of a handful
so
himself.
I don't have a problem that they're mocking him to the Browns. I'm like, yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. It'd be great. I think he's gonna be a good quarterback.
Can he bring Travis Hunter and Jimmy Horn Jr. together? Because they've got four elite wide receivers there. Yeah. He's not gonna have here.
But the second something goes wrong, it's just gonna be like a blitzkrieg of I don't want to be here. Get me out of here. Can we get my son out of there? And Cleveland does not want to sign up for that after the whole Deshaun Watson debacle. That contract still on the books, and he might still even be here.
Listen, no. if he's the best quarterback, you take him,
and you live with everything. Figured it out, I guess. Yeah.
But man, if you went from Baker to Deshaun to Shedeur, that's so much noise.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think Cleveland fans have ever wanted, like, a just boy-next-door quarterback who just shuts up. Like Tom Brady, the most vanilla, boring human
like
being
Bailey
on the planet.
Zappi, only good.
Who just went out, like, had no personality. yeah, I got to take one game at a time. I don't think we've ever wanted. No, because we're going to be crappy with Zappi. That was another thing I came up with yesterday. But no.
But Bailey is, but like, no. I'm saying Bailey has, like, the boy-next-door look. Like, he showed up.
I don't care how he looks. He needs to be a boring person is what I'm saying.
He's pretty boring.
But he can look like Quasimodo for all I care. I'm not trying to get people in Cleveland laid with a quarterback. I'm trying to win some games here.
That's fair. No, here's the thing. If the Browns go into the draft and they have Shedeur Sanders and, like, somebody else graded as, like, they're two guys, but they're pretty darn close, I almost feel like you just take the guy that you have graded, like – again, if it's a wide gap between the two,
chasm.
Yeah, if it's a wide gap between the two, how they have them graded,
chasm.
Then you don't
what's
know.
What's a chasm?
Like a gap.
It's
like,
chasm.
You mean chasm?
Ever heard of, oh yeah, that's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. Chasm.
Silent Aether. Silent Aether.
I talk for a living.
I honestly thought I said chasm. I'm sorry. And I just kept
it's
rolling
over
through
there
it.
On the chasm. Sounds like some kind of kinky English thing. Like, of course, we will have to talk to you after we've gone through the chasm.
If there's not a wide gap between the two that you have graded the highest, I think you still take the person you have graded second. But if there is that gap, then, yeah, I guess you got to take Shedeur. I just I don't know, man.
Hopefully there's no chasm.
I like Cam Ward. I've come around on Cam Ward more and more the more I've watched Miami. He's probably second for me right now. And I still like Quinn, even though I know he ran into some issues with Georgia this past week.
I think it's really dangerous to just watch like guys who are really great college quarterbacks and just assume that's going to make him a great pro quarterback. And like Cam is one of those guys where Cam has so much. I mean, what, two-year starter at Incarnate Ward, two-year starter at Oregon State, now in Miami. Like he has, I want to say it's over like 50 games of college experience, and I know that that is a big thing that teams look at, and not just college, but also in high school as well. But man, I'm watching the kid from Medina with Penn State this weekend. All right, what are the
Drew Aller?
Yeah, what are the traits there? I'm watching
that. If the
Nussmeier kid's also super.
If he ends up being your top quarterback on your board, that is the easiest sell in the world for Cleveland. Is a guy from Cleveland?
From Medina. You don't get that.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Come on.
All right, he's from the No. Because Cleveland always does that, all right?
Okay, fine. From Northeast Ohio. LeBron wasn't
Medina,
from Cleveland
guys,
either, but it's
Medina.
Northeast Ohio. Medina. By the way, Chasm is the word.
Give Medina this one. Shout out to Medina, see?
Shout out Medina. Drew Aller fans? Drew Aller fans? Okay, yeah. But if he's the Browns' top quarterback, you want him, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Was there a wide chasm between the two?
Chasm is a word. Read it. Yeah. Read the definition. Yeah. I was right.
No. No. It's spelled like this, but it is chasm.
Whatever.
216-474-0092. Is it chasm or chasm? Because Spencer will not let the show move forward. He's now
it's
trying
chasm.
To listen. It's chasm. What are you doing? This is
the whole new world.
This is like when Jax doubled down that there's no difference between warning and watch. Like that's the same word. It's spelled with an H. Yes. Letters can't be silent. There can't be silent. All right. Now you've gotten me off the topic here. Now we do have the Browns' very messy quarterback situation currently to get to. I think it might be a little more fun this weekend, but I think people going into this game expecting a wildly different offense because Jameis is here, I think there's a chance people are going to be pretty upset by 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Well, you're not going to see the RPO stuff, but if you wanted that, if you thought that was going to be the result, then you would have wanted Kevin Stefanski to keep the play call. Because to me, that's the big distinction here. If Kevin had kept the play calling and you're trotting Jameis out there, he's a better fit for the style of offense, that West Coast style that Kevin wants to run, heavy play action, throw the ball downfield. But if it's Ken Dorsey, like, I don't know that I think Ken Dorsey's going to run a version of Stefanski's offense, even though it's kind of this blended offense. Like, I think he's going to do more what he wants to do. So, yeah, like, I don't know that I'm banking on this idea the offense is going to look worlds different just because there's a new play caller. I would have thought you would have got that effect from Kevin keeping the play calling because he goes back to his standard offense then, and then it looks more like it did last year with Joe Flacco than whatever the hell we've seen for the first 7 weeks.
So I don't think people realize how hard it is to simply go back to the old offense. That's like a month thing.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen overnight.
And I think if it takes a month to get there, the season's already going to be lost by the time you get there. Now, you still might want to go back because it might give you a chance to better evaluate DTR. But, like, I don't know. I think there's a better chance that this is the last gasp for the Browns this year simply because, like, there's already kind of whispers out there. Browns themselves aren't in love with Jameis. That some of the things that are tedious with Jameis, the pregame speeches and all that stuff have kind of worn on the organization. Like, I'll be honest with you, everybody's talking about they really like DTR. I think the goal line, whatever the short yardage thing that they had in for Jameis, I think that was taken out of the playbook because I think they're a little frustrated with Jameis, and I think they understand where they are with Jameis.
You're saying, like, using him in as, like, the QB sneak quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, the whole package. Like, there was a whole Jameis package that they took out. And I think they took it out more because of Jameis and less because they
they
love DTR.
Well,
yeah, every team loves every player they have in their roster.
Also because they stopped using him. Like, the purpose of having Jameis out there was to actually QB sneak it sometimes, and they were never doing that. They started after the Jerome Ford, like, pitch out on fourth and one.
What was
worked
the sweep,
one time.
What was the sweep play?
Well, that's what it was.
Yeah. I don't think that was the call, by the way.
It was fourth.
That's informed speculation. I don't think that
week
was
week one, Jameis came out and they did the QB sneak with him. And then there was these variations of the play where they, like, pitch it out to Jerome Ford, and that worked against the Jaguars. And so then every time they ran it on fourth and one like that and they brought Jameis out, it was some variation of, well, let's run, like, a sweep play with Cedric Tillman coming around the formation, and he'll take it outside. And then Jerome Ford will take it outside, and then Deontay Foreman will take it outside. It was like, aren't you ever just going to go back to QB sneaking it again? So, yeah, there's no point in putting him out there when you're not going to QB sneak it, actually.
But I do think, like, I think Jameis is auditioning on Sunday.
I agree.
But I don't think he's auditioning for the Cleveland Browns.
I think the
best he can do is play well, and that's going to force their hands. Like, oh, no, Jameis plays well and we won. I guess we got to keep playing him. But, like, the only way that he could – if this offense looks significantly better and functional and they win, I think that's about the only thing that Jameis can do to stave off DTR. And – just the fact that I think if somebody came along and said, here's a fourth rounder for Jameis, I think he'd be gone before Sunday.
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% true. I mean, it's we all said it after the injury on Sunday to Deshaun. Like, the rest of the season becomes about figuring out what you have in everybody, and that includes DTR. Like, why not play him? I think they kind of have the perfect excuse this week because of the finger injury, and I know he's going to be active. Kevin revealed that today.
Which was even wilder. Like I honestly think that DTR is active. Sorry, that DTR being active and not starting. I think some of this has to try and push back to the idea that it's automatically just going to be DTR at any point.
Well, that's my point. Is like, I think they have the built-in excuse of like, well, he's active, but just because of the nature of the finger and he might not be 100%, we're going to like start Jameis and he'll be the first backup, and we just hope we don't have to go there. But, like, I think this is they have set this up perfectly for Jameis to get 2 weeks, play these games, audition for somebody, and be like, look, the offense looked better under Jameis. Like, it's the easiest thing that can happen is an offense that's been just historically bad looks even remotely better. And because it's been so bad, it's like putting lipstick on the pig where it's like, oh, man, Jameis made that offense look functional. I need that quarterback in my offense if somebody's hurt or there's a team that needs it right now.
This is like the flawed logic in, like, we're going to hold on four quarterbacks through the deadline because we're going to make you trade for one of our quarterbacks. Like, this is a bluff that probably doesn't work. The rest of the NFL does. Like, I understand the theory. I'm not saying the theory is
well, fun. But I think the difference is,
I'm saying, like it's very unlikely that Jameis does anything that he's going to make a team go up, wait, he can still do that? Ah, here's a third rounder for Jameis.
No, that's very fair. I just think, though, like, the difference is maybe the Browns settle for a little bit less this time around than they did then. Because back then you had the luxury of, like, well, the season hasn't started yet. What if your quarterback, you know, like, there's different outcomes. This is now where, for the Browns, like, they know where their season's going. If they're not getting, like, the Godfather offer for him, you can take a little bit less because I think you just want to accumulate picks.
Did you say a Godfather offer for Jameis?
Well, I just meant, like, whatever the top offer would be.
Oh, okay.
That's all I'm
saying. No, like, a Godfather offer is one that
I understand what you're saying. I probably used it out of context a little bit, but I was just saying, like, if you're not getting maybe they're putting the value of Jameis at, like, maybe a third-round pick on a good day. If you're not getting, like, a third-round pick, then maybe you just settle for a fifth because you'll take that fifth and use it in some capacity in the draft next year or to potentially move up in the draft or whatever. Because that's what this is about. The rest of the season is about accumulating those picks that can help you maneuver up and down the draft board next April or just using those picks in general to bolster the roster.
So I think people are going to be able to understand where I'm coming at from here. But do you think Jameis can play his way into the Browns' plans on Sunday?
I do not. We know what this – here's the other part of this. We know what signing Jameis Winston was about. I mean, he was only really here because of his sort of checkered past and what he went through and how he sort of reshaped his image. And Deshaun going through something similar, it was supposed to kind of be this, like, they could sit down together and, you know, share perspective on what they've gone through during their careers, not to make them victims, but, like, that was kind of the whole point, was you have somebody in here who has been able to change the image and the way people feel about him because of the way he's handled things after the incident that he was caught up in. And we want Deshaun to kind of have that sort of kumbaya with this guy. And they obviously got to know each other. They seem to have a great relationship. They've talked about it. But, like, if your commitment to Deshaun is now nil because of the injury and you're already talking about drafting a quarterback next year and whatever that looks like moving forward, I don't think you're worried about Deshaun's feelings anymore. It just becomes about, like, what's best for the Cleveland Browns. So, no, I don't think in any way, shape, or form Jameis is going out there on Sunday or in future weeks with an opportunity to, like, endear himself to the team enough where they're like, well, let's bring this guy back and make him our starting quarterback, because they already have enough to deal with Deshaun potentially being back here next year.
What I would say is I don't think that is the intention of the Browns. And I think for Jameis to do anything beyond a couple of games here.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's going to have to be far and away better and elevate this offense in a way that he hasn't yet. That nobody has. But to get back to it, like, any time you hit the field, if you're a professional, there is a theoretical chance. Like, you are being given this. I think what's so different here is I think he has zero margin for error. Like, I really do think, like, if he has a bad half, it wouldn't surprise me if he looks as bad as Deshaun did in the first half last. Like, they're going to go to DTR when they can. And so I thought as long as DTR was out, that gave Jameis the theoretical chance. The fact that now DTR, who I'm assuming the only reason he isn't starting is he wasn't able to practice all week trying to come back from this finger injury, he has until DTR gets those reps to look really, really good. And it starts with on Sunday, like, beat the Ravens, throw for a lot of yards, and get some touchdowns. Even if you turn the ball over, that recipe is the recipe to get a second game. All right, if you get a second game, the Chargers a little more beatable. Like, that's how it's got to start. But it's got to start immediately on Sunday. There is no time. If he has even a bad quarter, it wouldn't surprise me if DTR came in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very fair because we know how this organization feels about DTR, and I do think this season – as I think it's transitioned into, like, evaluation mode at this point. And part of that evaluation is figuring out what DTR is. And if there's anything there that you want to maybe tap into in the future, if he's, like, your long-term backup or whatever, that's, you know, at least you can find that out now. I don't – Jameis is basically going out there as I think he's auditioning for teams. I think he's just kind of going out there because he's the next best option right now, and you're looking for some sort of spark to make it feel like you're still trying to win. But I think everyone kind of understands, like, he might not be here in 2 weeks.
All right, here's a different way to ask this question. Do you think the Browns want Deshaun, or do you think the Browns want Jameis to be good, specifically on Sunday?
Whew. Honestly,
that doesn't mean that I don't think – I'm not talking subterfuge. I'm saying if everybody was in a quorum and they were talking about, you know, the best thing going forward, do you think any of them think Jameis being really good and giving you the plus side of Jameis without the negative side of Jameis, do you think anybody actually thinks that's in the long run good for the Browns organization?
So I honestly think this is kind of a loaded question because I think there's –
that's the only kind I ask.
I think there's different people in the organization that probably have a different answer.
Yeah. Like whom? Walk me through them.
Like, I think –
give me Glenn Cook's answer now.
I think Kevin Stefanski –
Kat Raich. Wait, she's got a new last name. Sorry.
I think Kevin Stefanski wants Jameis to look good because I think it then sort of leads into this idea that, well, we don't know the full picture, right, of who chose Deshaun and who didn't. But what we've heard is that this was more of a Jimmy Haslam thing than anything. And if that's true – I think like you want the offense to look good and you want Jameis to look good. So that it basically kind of proves like, well, we should have never really gotten into the Deshaun Watson business in the first place, and we probably should have had a different quarterback to begin with. But on the flip side of that, like maybe he doesn't want the offense to look good because then it means that it looks like an indictment on him because when he was calling the plays, the offense was garbage. I don't know.
I think you just said both parts of an argument.
Yeah,
by the way.
Well, that's as I'm like thinking through it, I think that's what's kind of funny about it. You could take it both ways, but
easy.
I don't know. Okay, your
mind. It's a family show. Okay, it's a family show. Get your mind out of the chasm.
But, no, I mean, I think if you're the organization, I think overall they probably want him to play well because I think you want to maximize what draft pick you can get for him in 2 weeks more than anything.
I don't even think it's just that. I think they know that, man, it just – okay, so I want to be careful because I don't think Jameis is a bad dude.
You want him to play well but lose to him.
Well, I don't even know about that. Like, Jameis playing well and maybe playing well enough as the interim quarterback that you have to think about – going Joe Flacco with him, I don't think that gets you any closer to answering any of these questions. Now, maybe it says, well, he'll be the veteran for you next year, and then he still draft the kid. But, like, Jameis playing well probably takes you out of range of taking a quarterback. So that's first strike bad for the Browns. Also, having to commit any future money to Jameis and seriously considering it, given that he is a bit of a dodo bird. Like, I think he is, at this point in life, I think he's harmless. I think crab cakes or the Uber driver, Jameis, I think he is a reformed guy.
Yeah.
Him too. I do think Jameis has reformed himself to some degree because he just does seem like he's in a different space than where he was. And maybe Tampa, New Orleans humbled him a bit. Maybe life humbled him. That happens when you have kids, right? But I don't know. Like, Jameis is the guy you're super comfortable with being your backup. But there are so many things. The changing the play to get the player the touchdown. If he did change the play on 3rd and 1 that ended up in that just awful sweep play that ended up putting you back on like 4th and 5.
Oh, and you think he called that?
I'm pretty sure he did, yeah.
Conspiracy.
Yeah.
No, he's like, my man Cedric Tillman ain't getting enough reps.
I've heard enough people throw it out there that it's. I'm pretty confident that wasn't like a Kevin Stefanski doing something that dumb. And so, like,
he just really wanted to get Cedric Tillman the ball.
Teams don't trust Jameis because he's a bit of a wild card. And so that's where, like, because they signed him as a backup. So, like, it's different, the responsibilities of a backup, especially if you don't think he's going to play because Deshaun should be healthy versus.
But how could the organization, like, that's an indictment on the organization. If they thought that Deshaun, who's now been injured all these years he just got injured last year, like coming off a serious injury, was just going to make it through a season completely healthy. But
well, no, when I say starter, I mean like long-term starter.
Yeah, no, I got you.
So,
I understand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not – they definitely are going to do everything they can to win because they're still – Kevin understands. If we don't win, like there gets to a point where you might not even survive the season. With a bye coming up 2 games from now or after the next 2 games, you really got to think that because, again – and these are 2 home games. So these get extra ugly because the ownership group is there and they're watching it. And especially with somebody with an itchy trigger finger like Jimmy, you can't tell me that that's not on the back of Kevin's head. So you're going to do everything you can to put him in the right position. But if everybody was being really honest, the idea of having to commit any amount of future guaranteed money to Jameis on a guy
but
that –
why does him play well mean you have to do that? He can still play well, and at the end of the season you're just like – yeah, just not
so
for us.
If they go 6-4 with Jameis.
They just did that with Joe Flacco.
Well, but now you don't have Deshaun. Now you don't have the excuse of we're trying to figure out
what we have. Right, but if they're drafting a quarterback anyway, who cares?
No, because you're going to need a veteran. That quarterback you draft might not be ready.
Yeah, but you can sign any veteran. You don't have to make it Jameis.
You are going to be the person that calls for – if Jameis goes 6-4 and passes for like 2,000 yards and 15 touchdowns, you're going to be the guy saying, why aren't we bringing this guy back?
No,
I'll call you right now.
I'm not saying that there won't be an argument to be made of like maybe they should bring him back, but I'm just saying like they literally just proved to you that they don't care if a veteran quarterback plays well and leads the offense and they're not going to bring him back
a year later. It's not. Things have changed so much because not only is Deshaun coming off a more serious injury, when I say more, a second
incredibly
serious.
Does Jameis even want to play here next year? Like, given how
Jameis wants to go wherever there's money.
Given his emphatic rant after the game the other day, and Shelby Harris saying what he's saying about, like, we noticed that, you know, do you want to play for this fan base anymore? Like, I'm just saying, like, that's going to rub some people the wrong way, where they maybe they'll decide this offseason they're on a one-year deal. I don't want to come back to Cleveland.
One good game, and you're going to be on the Jameis bandwagon.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.